ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
There's a verse written on the board for those of you that are here. You don't have to move, but if you want to see the verse, you have to come over to this side. You can stay.
Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnur Jagan Mangalam Anghasam Mahatam Apiko Ravya Vidhyai Khandika Nishkritam Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnor Jagan Mangalam Amhasam Mahatam Apiko Ravya Vidyai Kantika Nishkritam Tasmat
Therefore
Sankirtanam
The congregational chanting of the holy name
Vishnoho
Of Lord Vishnu
Jagat Mangalam
The most auspicious performance within this material world.
Amhasam.
For sinful activities.
Mahatam api.
Even though very great.
Kauravya.
O descendant of the Kuru family.
Vidhi.
Understand.
Aikantika.
The ultimate.
Nishkritam.
Atonement. Listen to this translation. Shukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King, the chanting of the holy name is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtan movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please, try to understand this so that others will take it seriously. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. We should note that although Ajamila chanted the name of Narayana imperfectly, he was delivered from all sinful reactions. The chanting of the holy name is so auspicious that it can free everyone from the reactions of sinful activities. One should not conclude that one may continue to sin with the intention of chanting Hare Krishna to neutralize the reactions. Rather, one should be very careful to be free from all sins and never think of counteracting sinful activities by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, for this is another offense. If by chance a devotee accidentally performs some sinful activity, the Lord will excuse him, but one should not intentionally perform sinful acts.
Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnur Jagan Mangalam Amhasam Mahatam Api Kauravya Vidyai Kantika Nishkritam.
My dear King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtan movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please, try to understand this so that others will take it seriously. This verse is Sukadeva Goswami speaking. He's picking up from where he left off, because where he left off was he made a statement, the standard procedure our acharyas follow is he's asked a question. Shukadeva Goswami is asked a question. He gives an answer. He gave scriptural support to verify or validate the answer. Now he's restating the answer. Therefore, tasmat, in conclusion. So, the question that was asked by Maharaj Parikshit, we know from the very beginning of this sixth canto, chapter 1, was a standard theological question that different religions have different answers and that makes up their different theologies. What to do about the reactions to sinful activities? What can be done to help people from suffering? Compassion is core to any theology. What do you do to express compassion? People will suffer. The specific is at the end of the fifth canto, an amazing description of the cosmos. From the Vedic conception, from the higher, middle, and the lower planetary systems, what goes on there is described in detail, and it's awful. So, the king, Maharaj Parikshit, is thinking about the welfare of the citizens. That's what kings do. Good kings, that's what they think. And in the case of Maharaj Parikshit, he's not just thinking, he's qualified. And he has before him Shukadeva Goswami. So what is to be done to prevent people from having to suffer so horribly the reactions of their sinful activities? Compassion. In sequence, just to make it simple, Shukadeva Goswami suggests Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and then Shuddha Bhakti in sequence. Karma Kanda is insufficient, Jnana Kanda is insufficient, Shuddha Bhakti is sufficient. It's complete. And in the verse where Shukadeva Goswami explains that, he says, even Abbas Bhakti, is sufficient not just to neutralize the reactions, but to uproot the tendency to do sinful activities again. The potency is there. And he tells the Ajamila story to confirm his statement. And now, having told the Ajamila story, Shukadeva Goswami is now saying, therefore, Sankirtanam Vishnur Jagan Mangalam Amhasam, in relation to Amhasam, relation to sinful reactions, sinful activities in reaction to sinful activities, there is nothing more auspicious in the whole universe. There are many things that are auspicious. There's nothing more auspicious, nothing that can match it. Harir Naam Eva Kevalam. Whatever is in something else, it's but a subset of the holy name. Whatever. It's accomplished by one thing. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita's definition of faith. Shraddha shabde vishvas kahi sudridha nishchaya. Faith is the confidence that by simply accomplishing one thing, all other desirable things can be accomplished. Some devotees yesterday were asking, what does it mean to be simple as opposed to complicated? Because it said spiritual life is simple for the simple and difficult for the crooked or complicated. And the world that we live in, I'm sure you've noticed, it's very complicated. And as you go along, it gets more complicated and more complicated, and Kali Yuga makes you spin with complications. How to keep your life simple? How to keep your life simple? How to cultivate that simplicity? Faith is one way. Faith means there may be so many desirable things. What is that one thing? If I can accomplish this one thing, all other desirable things, they'll follow. To the degree that it's factually as desirable, it'll follow this one thing. What's that one thing? Focus on that one thing. Your life becomes simple. It's difficult because we're complicated. We're being pushed and pulled by so many forces. Our own conditioning and everybody else around us is really conditioned, and there's pushing and pulling going on, shoving, bashing, pushing. So that one thing is that which brought us to the material world is to be checked, counteracted, neutralized, uprooted. And then you can be in this world but not influenced by it, not of the world. What's that one thing? How do you turn your attention again to Krishna? That's too simple. Can you give me something complicated? Well, that's the root. And the chanting of the holy name is the most effective means for doing that. One thing. Chant and bring your attention to the holy name. Oh, it's not just chant, it's I have to bring my attention to the chanting? Shucks. Can you make it easier? That's as easy as you get. Bring your attention to the holy name. Because when you bring your attention to the holy name, you experience something. We were reading yesterday. Just as in this verse, the word nishkritam, aikantika nishkritam. Nishkritam means atonement. And aikantika nishkritam means the ultimate. It's not like put something on the other side of the pan scale. It's like kind of neutralize the bad activity by a prayaschitta atonement. This is aikantika atonement. It's the primordial stupidity. Misuse of free will. Turning away from Krishna. Not just like, you know, fine adjustments. Because that's what we're used to. Happiness means you bring this element together with that element, put a little bit of this, a little less of that, and some of this and some of that, and you find happiness, right? And it didn't work. So then you adjust it again and adjust it again. Life is a series of such adjustments, and you die. And it never happened because you didn't do the one. And you do the one and all the other things are okay. Whether they're this or that, it's okay. Because the connection with Krishna is established. And what we read with the same Nishkritam is in verse that we read yesterday. Sarvesham api agavatam. Again, agha is sins. For one who wants to all varieties of sins, idam eva su nishkritam. Same word, nishkritam. It's su nishkritam. It's the best. Or ikantika nishkritam. It's the best. The ultimate. What's that? Nama vyaharanam Vishnur. Chanting the names of Vishnu. And do you remember what we heard? What happens when you do that? This is very confidential. It's so confidential that I'll say it and it'll remain confidential. Not just because you won't tell anybody else, but it's very confidential. It's different kind of confidential than don't tell anybody. Because the verse that we read this morning is Shukadeva Goswami is saying, tell everybody. Something very confidential. Something very confidential is, what does Krishna feel? And what does Krishna do when he feels something? When we are chanting the holy name, trying to bring our attention to him. In the case of Ajamila, he wasn't even trying. And not only the reactions of his so many sins, but even the tendency was removed. I mean, it was a little assist by that little dialogue between Yamadutas and Vishnudutas. That must have been thrilling. I'll tell a little Badri Narayan story. This he told during our GBC meeting. We have Bhagavatam classes in Mayapur, and everybody attends Badri Narayan's class because he tells wonderful stories. Like, the whole class is just like, it's fantastic. The Badri Narayan show. So one of the stories that he told was, in his congregation, there's a elder couple. The wife is an aspiring disciple of Jayapataka Swami. The husband is, I forget exactly how he described it, but not anti-devotional, but not devotional. A kind of scholarly person, a smarter kind of personality. Really doesn't participate. He comes and sits and goes, and his wife is, you know, devotional. Elderly. So he was diagnosed with some disease. So he went to the hospital and they found it was a very serious disease. I forget what he said the disease was. And his life symptoms started diminishing and diminishing and diminishing and diminishing. And it was like the light was going to go out. So relatives were coming from different places. The devotees were coming, and Buddy Narayan came and visited him, and they had some conversation. He knew the man, and he said, "Mr. Das, just take shelter of Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna, and he'll protect you." Something like that. And he left. The man, after a short time later, entered a coma. And my memory says it was a long time, something like a few weeks coma. That's a long time. And by that time, from all over the world, relatives have come, people had come, it's a whole scene. And sometime after that coma period, he opened his eyes and he sat up. And everyone was, wow. And the first words he said was, "They came four times." And the nurses said, yes, we were coming regularly, at least four times a day. And he said, no, they came four times. And the relatives said, yes, different groups of people, at least four times. No, they came four times. And the devotee said, we came many times for kirtan while you were in your coma. He said, no, they came four times, the ugly ones. And each time they came, I said, no, I'm taking shelter of Krishna. Please go away. And they went away. And they came again. And they had these ropes. And they wanted to take me away. And I said, no, I have taken shelter of Krishna. Please go away. And they went away. Four times. And the fourth time, there were these angelic looking ones with a dark complexion. And they came. And they said, go away. And then I woke up. And everyone was looking around the room like, wow. And the devotees were going, wow. Just take shelter of Krishna. Even such a person who had no, unlike his wife, didn't have any particular devotional inclination, but the words that Buddy Narayan had presented somehow went into his heart, and even in a coma, that was his shelter. So, yatas tad vishaya mati. Because of chanting the name, even in a coma, I've taken shelter of Krishna. Yatas tad vishaya mati. That person who has chanted the holy name, tad vishaya mati, Krishna pays attention. Protection, not only attention. So I want to read two things to assist this message. One is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This is taken from Sri Chaitanya's teachings and the teachings on chanting the holy name. I'm just going to read it. Quote, the most important thing in chanting the holy name is the spiritual realization backing the name. That is the real name. A tape recorder can pronounce the holy name of Krishna, just like a parrot. But the physical sound is not Krishna. In the background, there must be spiritual truth, which is conscious. You cannot capture the holy name simply by vibrating the syllables of the holy name with your tongue. Ravana wanted to capture Sita, and he thought he did. But factually, he did not even touch her divine body. Ravana caught only a mundane replica of Sita Devi, an imitation, which was like a statue of Sita. Paragraph. You cannot vibrate the holy name simply by moving the lips and tongue. The pure name of Krishna is not lip deep, but heart deep. Ultimately, it goes beyond the heart and reaches the land of Krishna. When Krishna comes down, the name comes through the heart and moves the lips and tongue. That vibration is the holy name of Krishna. When Krishna, in the form of sounds, descends from the transcendental world into the heart and from the heart, controlling every aspect of the nervous system, comes to the lips and tongue, dancing there. That is Krishna Nam. That sound is not produced on the material plane. The spiritual sound has come down into this plane. He can come down, but we cannot so easily go up there. The holy name is only realized when we approach him with a very intense serving mood. At that time, Krishna himself may come down by his grace, being attracted by our serving nature. Yathas tad vishaya matihi. Yesterday, Ananta Shesh asked a question. Normally, we think of a relationship of doing something with someone, so when we're chanting, what's that? It's a preliminary, what we're doing, depending on our elevation of consciousness, but minimally, besides making the sound, it's an appeal in a service mood. Please engage me in your service. Please engage me in your service. Please keep me in your internal potency, which is the medium of devotional service and by which I will be protected from the onslaught of the external energy and the deluding potency and thinking of myself as the enjoyer of that, which is meant for your enjoyment. It's meant for your service. Please engage me in your service. Please accept me. Please give me the strength. These prayers from this little chart that Purichan provided along with his japa book. Please help me discard this burden of maya that I've been carrying since time immemorial. Please give me the spiritual strength to engage in your service. He'll give us service. The constitutional position of the soul is service. It's just the appeal is to awaken that consciousness again, that that's our position, instead of serving wrongly or in illusion, thinking, as Badahari was saying, I am Krishna last night. I am the enjoyer. Or let me become one with Krishna at least. Let me be the servant of Krishna. That's my position. So, Namabhas is so powerful. What to speak of this appeal to Krishna to be engaged nicely in his service. Now, I could just stop there and we could chant. I was thinking to do one other thing, and I'll try to do it quickly. Some tools, part of function like we're doing now, an event of really trying to focus on what our real work is, our real service to Krishna, restoring our relationship with him, loving relationship, loving service relationship. Some tools that may help. Here's one verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is a book written by Sanatan Goswami. It's a how-to book. How to do everything in devotional service, the rituals of devotional service, how to execute them. Here's how you do it. So one of the things that we do is we chant the holy name. And he gives, in one verse, six items, rules or tips or principles to apply that you may find helpful. the rest of the 32-round day. Manasamharanam shocham maunam mantarata chintanam avya gratvam anivedo japa sampati hetavaha. Translation. In order to perfect one's chanting of japa, one needs to cultivate the following qualities. He starts with the easiest one first, control of the mind. Internal and external purity. Silence. Contemplation of the mantra's meaning. Patience and steadfastness. Those patience and steadfastness are very similar to the Rupa Goswami's teaching of six things that are helpful to perfect bhakti. Patience and determination. Patience and steadfastness. The terms are slightly different. The direction is very similar. So, mana samharanam, control of the mind. And we spend some time with this one. Control of the mind means the practice. When the mind wanders, you bring it back. Just like a dog on a leash. Or a cow that's placed with a rope and a stick, and they can move a certain distance, but that's it. So, controlling the mind. The mind goes, you bring it back. And continuing to practice that when the mind wants to wander and contemplate things, sense objects or something. Shocham means purity. So, external purity, summit cleanliness was a term that Srila Prabhupada used. Our temples should be places of summit cleanliness. Just the other day I was going down the back stairway and Jitendra was scrubbing the stairs because to go from the kitchen to the back door, you know, all the boga comes and goes, and you know, and he just like very humbly said, you know, I forget exactly what the words were. Jitendra, are you here? Humble Vaishnav for years together, simply serving the Vaishnavas and making the temple clean. And so many other devotees doing so many other services like that. It's the external cleanliness and the internal cleanliness, without detailing, maybe another time. Specifically, Gundicha Marjanam verse, you can read it on your own, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, describes the internal cleanliness, or the weeding of the unwanted things from the heart, and the effort to do so on the strength of service mood to make the heart a fit place for the holy name to come and sit. Mona, just as a reminder for everyone that's with us, except little children that don't know what the word means, maintain silence. And that means, you know, from the time that we finish class, when we go out of the temple room, it's not conversation time. When we go take prasadam, it's not conversation time. It's mona time. A general sense of mona, besides when chanting, is not speaking prajalpa, but speaking only in relation to Krishna. That's a training that Prabhupada gave about kitchen. sometimes there's other conversation that goes on in the kitchen, but the training that Prabhupada gave was mauna, or in relation to the preparation, or Krishna Katha, and otherwise mauna. So it's a nice, especially when in something in relation to the deity, the holy name, especially that principle. When, but to improve, perfect the quality of your chanting, it's a principle to observe. Mantrata chintanam, contemplating the meaning of mantra. This especially is appropriate for Gayatri mantra, but the meaning of Maha mantra is also there. Please engage me in your service, is the simple meaning. So it's not just the words, it's the spirit calling. Please engage me in your service. Where this appears in Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's this recommendation that when chanting and you're finding that there's a dry spell, or another example can be given. So remember one of these things because they're powerful. Another example can be given of an airplane, a pilot that's flying an airplane. And very strong winds have blown the pilot off course. So he doesn't abandon the airplane, he brings the plane back on course. So same, in the course of 32 rounds, you may find, what happened? Where am I? Get back on course. Focus on those things that will improve the quality of your chanting. What's the meaning of the mantra? And enter into the spirit of the meaning of the mantra while chanting. Avya gratva, patience. Similar to Rupa Goswami's teaching, patience. In one sense, patience means don't rush to hurry up and finish your 32 rounds. Be patient. Move swiftly. Prabhupada's teaching is that by chanting swiftly it helps to capture the mind, but not so swiftly that you cannot hear each syllable of the holy name. Swiftly, but not too swiftly. So, chant swiftly, but not, let me finish. Because it's a relationship and we want to enter deeply into that relationship. But it's also when the mind wanders, be patient, keep bringing. So the other is steadfastness, continue, but be patient when that interruption comes. In the Chanchulam Himana Krishna Pramati Balavadridham, in that verse, the indication that Prabhupada gives, he gives two tips. One of them to help bring the mind to become free from disturbance. Practice hearing about Krishna, hearing his name and hearing the glories of Krishna. And as the mind becomes pacified by that spiritual influence, it becomes easier. And the other forms of spiritual resource that is there, like the association of devotees. Many persons share in the association of devotees, this assembly, it's easy. It's much easier. So, in your course of your life, see that there's nice association. Go out of your way to cultivate nice association. Others who are of similar spirit, who want to go forward with their Krishna consciousness. They don't have to be like, you know, the superlative Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava. That's nice. But someone that's very sincere and serious and develop nice relationships with those devotees. And the other resources, coming, participating in activities at the temple, doing service at the temple, taking prasadam, it gives spiritual strength. So many persons have become devotees and continue to become devotees by that nice, it's a spiritualizing effect. It's not just the taste, it's spiritual benefit that comes. So those are two elements that help the patients continuing. And this last one is anirveda, steadfastness. So if you can think of those tips that are on the wall, if you get lost and you're like, you don't know what's happening at some point, or just want some inspiration, this is that slide. You can go and remember those nice points, keys for improving, and just continue with faith. Place your faith in the holy name. Repose your faith in the holy name. And you'll experience, even if you get lost, just like the pilot redirecting, Krishna's reciprocation will be there. Know that Krishna's reciprocation, even, you know, the heart may be hard or the mind may be all over the place. On the soul level, Krishna's reciprocation is there. And it'll bring you again into Krishna's realm, that shelter of Krishna's holy name. So I think I'll end with that, just as inspirations, hopefully, some points and tools that can help you. Good luck in your 32 rounds, or some devotees I know want to chant more than that, and if I hurry up and finish, it'll more likely happen. Any comments or questions? Right here. That was easy. Go ahead. Give it to Nityananda Pran. He knows how to make it work.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I hope I'm understanding this correctly, but yesterday you were showing some slides mentioning how the holy name is not auspicious.
Holy name is?
Not auspicious. Maybe I misunderstood.
Maybe you did.
Because you were mentioning about it was transcendental, it wasn't pious or impious.
Okay.
And
beyond the material sense of auspicious and inauspicious, Shubha Ashubha Palayarevam, that's the verse from Bhagavad Gita, is beyond materially auspicious. Does that help? So, let's say some standards. Bhaktivinoda Thakur just explains it this way. There's that which is activities that bear material fruits, activities that bear neutralizing involvement in matter, and there's activities that are directly spiritually connecting one to Krishna. So it's to say it's not one of those first two categories. Standard activities that include sukriti, bhog anmukhi sukriti, bhog, enjoyment. digging wells, planting trees by the side of the road. You know, from the Vedic scripture, that's a pious act. So beyond that, not in that category. Or one of the offenses against the holy name is to consider that the chanting of the holy name is a auspicious activity, like a ritual found in the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. It's one of the 10 offenses, so not like that. That's the meaning. Does that help? Jaya Jagannath.
Maharaj, in the society of devotees, we have many activities which are considered priority.
Yes.
And all of them have to be executed.
Yes.
Now, in the Bhagavatam, it is emphasized as well by our acharyas, the superlative position of Sankirtan, particularly non-Sankirtan.
Yay!
We see that when it comes to executing this particular activity, amongst the list of priorities that have to also be executed, it usually gets a courteous Sunday feast performance, and you know, that's kind of it. So my question is, in the verse you were reading today, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, asking, requesting that you take it seriously so that others would take it seriously.
Yeah.
So my question is, how is this idea inculcated in the society of devotees, the absolute preeminence of the performance of Nam Sankirtan amongst all our other activities, but this one has to go on, otherwise all other activities are considered as incomplete? Because it seems that in our movement, particularly in America, I don't know of other places, that its preeminence is either not understood or it's marginalized to all other activities.
Give me a break, man.
I was going to give a disclaimer to my question.
Here we are. We're doing the holy name when you're asking me this question. We're doing it. And we're inviting others, you know, to do it. And while we were doing the Harinam downtown, we gave out boxes of those things. You know, come on and chant the holy name with us at the Ratha Yatra, and come to our temple and chant the, you know. When people come to our temple, what do they experience? If they don't like chanting, they won't come back again. Because there's lots of it. You know, some people come just for the prasadam. We know that. They know exactly when to come and they leave. And they know the Haribol Prabhu, they know how to say that. But the experience that we're offering is the holy name. And as a brahmachari, you have the blessing to do what you just said, what the scripture says. And you've shared this with me at least 10 times that I can remember. How important it is for the devotees in the temple to set the right standard for our congregation, to have relationships with our congregation that's encouraging and inviting. So you're setting the right standard. And, you know, their involvements with the responsibilities of their life don't provide them the same facility. But we can set the right standard, show by our example, to do that. And, you know, in a way, especially make it accessible to others in a way that's, you know, it goes down, it's palatable. It fits their life, style, and stuff. So we can do our way, we can make it, you know, comfortable in their zone. But, you know, the principle is there by, you know, in doses that they can handle. Others. And that accomplishes this. And, gee, you know, the temple room was full last night. We invited, it's holiday. Well, people have things that they have commitments, and so they were, anyway, we're inviting and setting a standard. I'm sure we can always do better and more and things like that, but I don't think we're heading in the wrong direction. Moving in the right direction. Yes. It's regarding what?
This is regarding the email we saw a few days back from ISKCON DC about the pronunciation of mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
So, meaning or the pronunciation?
The pronunciation, how to pronounce these words, Krishna and Rama.
You want to hear how to pronounce them?
So in the
repeat
email...
after me. What's your question?
Yeah, so the email said that the word Krishna and Rama are to be pronounced... Rama should rhyme with Rama. Rama, not Ram. It is Rama.
Yeah.
And correct. Krishna. But my understanding, looking at these words, even in Sanskrit, they are like Ram, not Rama.
No. I'm not a Sanskrit scholar. Huh? Hindi, I'm not a Hindi scholar either. But what I've understood is, in Hindi, it's preferred, Ram. But in Sanskrit, it's Rama. And the number, you count the number of syllables, the math is real quick, it's Rama. To get 16, and then the other 16 gets 32, so it's Rama. It's not Krish and Ram. It's Krishna and Rama. Is that all right?
It's Rama or Rama?
Rama, Rama, Rama.
So it's not,
right?
Not like Rama. In the Rama, it's there's one more A. That's Rama.
You lost me.
So like the word Rama, if there is one R in between, so it is, does it rhyme with Rama? Rama, like that, or Ram, Rama?
Look in, just take the microphone away from that person. look in Bhagavad Gita, excuse me, the back to Godhead, Hare Rama. That's the sound. It gives like, you know, sounding as, I forget which one comparison it gives. Look there. Rama. Hare. Okay? Hare. Rama. Next. Someone? Anantya Shesh right up front here.
Yesterday in the evening class, you mentioned that while chanting, chant in a receiving mood and receive the mercy of Krishna. And even this morning's class,
yes,
you were saying,
yes,
while chanting, Krishna will reciprocate and receive the reciprocation of Krishna. You didn't say
yes
exactly that way.
Yeah,
but,
yes.
With all the material conditioning, In the activities we do, we have a tendency to expect a particular result. So even while chanting, even while trying to chant in a receiving mood, there's a tendency to expect something specific, and not getting that, the mind goes away. So when we say about receive the mercy, I was wondering if you can say, how does this mercy feel like or look like?
Nice. And nice can be, take it from Lord Chaitanya. Crush me by your embrace. Trample me with your feet. Neglect me. That's a reciprocation too. All, etc. tune into the Krishna channel and you get the reciprocation. And it's all variety, and it's all love. One devotee was sharing with me about their japa that was at the 64 round day in Seattle. And they were very enthusiastic before. Really looking, you know, expectation. And they were, you know, they were feeling really well prepared and nothing happened. Because they were, you know, their analysis afterwards was they were expecting something from Krishna. And the realization was, in fact, Krishna is supremely independent. And when they let go of their expectation, it was sublime. It's something like what I was sharing with the situation with Mother Rasikya and yesterday evening, whenever it was. But even that part that looked like getting beaten, it was purifying. It was Krishna's mercy. So the expectation of how that might come is we want to be in, you know, the control rods, the gears and levers, and, you know, Krishna, you got to do this. That's my expectation. And Krishna's response is, reciprocate, yes, but not on your terms. And that's nice. That's the, what the good question was, what does that feel like? It's nice. Prahlad Maharaj, our relationship is you're the master and I'm the servant and there's nothing else. And that's nice. Ask Prahlad. It's nice. And it can be this or that or the other thing. And it's nice. Because that's the relationship. In some service, this kind, that kind. I'm getting used to it. It's like, you know, a whole life of things that I never even thought of. And had I been told, you know, 20 years ago that I'd be doing some of the stuff I'm doing today, it's no way. No way. But it's when it's on Krishna's terms, it's nice. It's austere, but austerity is nice because in that there's if that's what Krishna wants, then it's yes. It's nice. Last question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In Gita Nagari retreat, one of the devotees indicated to me that you should chant so that only you can hear, others should not hear from you. And
you just said Krishna's name and I heard.
Because I was maybe louder, that he didn't want to hear my voice. So is that the way we should make the...
It's more of a social concern than it is a rule. Here's from, I believe the source is Bhakti Ratnakar, there we go. Haridas Thakur chanted 3 times 64 rounds every day. It's stated that there are 3 types of chanting: silent, softly, and loud. And he chanted 64, 64, and 64 in each one of those 3. But he comments to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's in Chaitanya Bhag, not to Chaitanya, he comments about chanting that of the 3, the softly is preferred. Audible, because other living entities benefit, and when other living entities benefit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pleased, and so both receive benefit, including the chanter. But it's best if it's chanted softly. And when we're in assembly like this or in Gita Nagari, if we have somebody chanting very loudly, what's going to happen? People are going to leave the room. They're not going to, or either you know, tap him on the shoulder or her and say, so when you're in your home, as loud as you like. When a social consideration is when you're in assembly like this, you know. If you like to chant very loudly, there's a big outdoors. And you can chant loudly. Just social consideration. But of the three, if you're just in your own home and you have, you know, that you can do as Haridas Thakur did or what he recommended, that the softly is best. Audibly, so you can hear, because it's not just in the mind. In the mind is also possible, but it's not as beneficial and it's more difficult. Is that all right? You going to follow up on it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Huh?
Similar aspect. Do you have any recommendation about sitting posture? When I see you, you're always sitting straight and very inspiring to me. But I cannot, even I'm much younger than you, my body, I am very suffering, I cannot sit and difficult to continue.
There are a couple of devotees that I plan to comment to them about their posture when they chant. And guaranteed, if your posture is poor, your attention will similarly follow. And it helps if your posture is, I mean, it's just what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, plus the scientific, plus it's the instruction of our acharyas and so forth. Sit properly. Okay, so a reminder about Mona Vrata. At the sound of the tone, Mona Vrata begins. Bing. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.